Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Hello, happy post-Super Bowl, and happy Valentine's Day, and hope everyone's doing okay. Doing okay in balmy New Jersey.
And we're also joined by Joe. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? How's everything going?
For those of you that are new to this podcast, we are a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about gaming. This week's topic of the show is we're going to be covering the top 20 games of the decade, but we're going to be looking at it at a different perspective. We want to see if this is going to affect what's up and coming for the next decade. But before we get started here, I do want to give a shout out to CJ. He has asked us to talk about his new podcast, which I hear is awesome, right, Joe?
Yeah, Daryl was telling me that it's a really, really sweet show. You guys should definitely check it out. You guys should check out Push to Plat if you haven't checked that show out. DJ and Mindy do a great job breaking down, you know, PlayStation games. I know the new show, which Clyde will give you the name for in a second, which I'm sorry, CJ, I don't remember the name of it. That one is kind of more trophy-centric.
Actually, Trophy and Achievement Podcast. I think I heard that he's partnered up with the Top Achievement Hunter from Xbox.
Like,
which is...
Of all Achievement Hunters?
Possibly. I don't know.
Like, Stallion? That'd be pretty amazing.
I don't know. I think Cool Kid Xbox? I don't know.
He ain't Stallion. Well, no offense, Cool Boy, but Stallion's my bro, so...
Okay, his new podcast is called P2P Level Cap, so give it a listen and a follow. Now let's talk about the backlog beatdown.
Did you say PP Level Cap?
P2P.
Oh.
Push to plat P2P.
Push to plat Level Cap. Oh, it sounded like you were saying PP Level Cap, and I was like, why is he talking about PPs?
I think it's actually called P2P. They shortened it up.
Oh.
Yes.
Well then.
All right, let's get into the backlog beatdown. I'm going to give you some of our top scores here. We have Joseph Priestley with 14. Good job. Daryl with 12. James McCall with a whole 10. James is getting up there. CJ actually has a positive 8 points. I'm at 6. Garth is at 5, Levi is at 4, Brandon is at 3, Frosty is at 3, and Tricky Mick is at 3. Andrew Middlemoss is at 2, JT is at 2, Roberto with 2 on the board there, Tanner Bird with 2. I'm sorry, Andrew, you have 3. I'm so sorry, I gotta fix the sheet, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Joshua Craps with 1, Corey Brendan with 1. And then we have Jim, Simon, and Zachary at 0, and Veronica at -1.
Yo, Veronica making her way on the board.
So, let's start with what we've been playing. How about you, Roberto?
Okay, so we're going to start it off with Neo Cab on the Nintendo Switch.
That gave it good.
It depends on what kind of expectations you have. It is a story-driven mystery where you live in a near-futuristic world that is governed by apps. You have ride-sharing apps, dating apps, a Airbnb-like app, and when you move to a new city and your friend goes missing, you need to use your skills as a rideshare driver, basically an Uber driver, to find out what happened to her. It's a war. It's a city that is fascinating, but also under corporate greed and espionage. So, and the nice, cool thing is that your protagonist, Lena, she's not like a former soldier or a former cop or anything. She's just a regular girl driving her car, trying to look what happened to her best friend. Her name is her best friend named Savvy. So it's Savvy it's interesting. Well, Savvy's her best friend. Lena's the main is the cabbie. But
like, what?
It's actually really fascinating. The music's pretty cool. Visually, it's pretty sharp. I'd say the performance could have been better. It was released on PC and the Switch. If you're gonna get this game, PC might be better just for load times and little things, and it runs at a higher frame rate. But at the same time, it's a pretty good, decent port for the Switch. It's an interesting mystery. It's intellectual. It's smart. It has a lot of different stories to tell.
Did you finish?
There's obviously one. I'm working on it. I've been working on it since the last couple months, but I've been in this case of I really, really want to finish my game. So, there's some games some of these story games I started and I just stopped. But this one's really good. I personally really respect it for its unique approach, especially using the real world of today with ride sharing and apps and all that, and trying to apply them into a future that is plausible. So it's definitely worth your time. And it's nothing along the lines of Telltale where it's like, you know, you just make little choices and then, you know, there's hardly any difference or anything. Like, well, you know what I mean? It's nothing like Telltale. It's actually you make decisions with the conversation. You can actually see your feelings, how you're feeling and how your emotions affect what you say. So there's a lot of little intricacies like that. It's really fascinating.
So it's not just like Uber Driver the game?
Not quite, no.
That's kind of what it looked like when I saw the previews. I was like, are you just like an Uber driver, like driving people around for money? Like, is this like a modern take on Crazy Taxi?
Trick is you have to find out what is happening to the city and find out what happened to your friend who's gone missing.
Well, that sounds interesting. I mean,
yeah, it's definitely worth it. I think worth the price. I mean, I've already poured about 5-6 hours into it.
Do you plan on Switch or PC?
I don't know if I'm Switch, and I don't know if I'm nearing the end. So definitely, there's a lot of mileage to be had there. Yes, pun intended. The next game I'm playing is, I might have mentioned this in the last show episode, Velocity 2X.
I think you did.
Velocity 2X. Is that a shmup? Yeah.
It is a shmup.
It sounds like a shmup.
It's an old. It's a shmup from 2014, and it was a shmup that introduced a lot of interesting mechanics. The biggest was that you could teleport through structures and through objects and then be able to take down the enemy. So I've been working on it more. As I mentioned probably in the last show, my save data went missing and I never, and you know, so therefore I'm starting the whole game from scratch, but it's not so bad. The game's a quick one. It's basically Sonic the Hedgehog in space. The gameplay is fantastic. The story is really neat. The visual interpretation is really good. Like, anybody who has a PS4 or Vita or even a Switch now, because it's on Switch, should honestly own this game. It's fantastic. A lot of fun. And I do hope we get to see a third one day.
What would the third one entail?
Probably more spaceship shooting. I would have to imagine maybe different ships or maybe different ways of combat. Maybe different degrees of speed. because the game like kind of, you know, ends on a really nice note, the second one, but it ends with the possibility that Earth might be under attack, so from vicious aliens. But the cool part is that your character, after the calamity of the first game, which is actually really good, it's called Velocity, the ship has used, like, you know, nanites or whatever, and built parts of itself into you, so you're like half, like, the character's like half human woman and half cyborg, and she can teleport through walls and shoot things with her hand and stuff, so it's pretty cool. So there's a lot that can go on with that. So that's there's that right there. And finally, I'd have to say the last game I've been playing has been Overlord for the PlayStation 4.
Now, what is Overlord?
Yeah, this is my fault. I kind of was going to say Overlord, and then I said I meant to say Overload. Overlord's a really good anime. So Overload is a really nice, amazing first-person ship shooting experience, if you will. It's not necessarily an FPS. It's not necessarily a ship combat game. It's kind of like both. I might have mentioned this before in an episode way back, but I'll mention it now. So it comes from the makers of Descent. In 1995, there was a really wonderful video game called Descent. It introduced the 6 degrees of freedom, flying around in a cavern and being able to look around in all dimensions to locate your enemies and destroy them. In that game, the purpose was to go in the solar system and destroy underground laboratories and facilities and moons and asteroids and blow them up. It was actually really cool. And this one, you're kind of doing the same thing, but it's different. It's from the guys who made the original game, so a lot of what made those games special is back. The soundtrack is great. The visuals are strong. The difficulty is pretty challenging, but the combat is second to none. It's a fantastic game, and I love every second of it. Although Sunday, I really got bogged down. I'm thinking I'm towards the end of the game. There was this giant base that was like part space station, part underground lava cavern, and the objective of each of these levels is to locate the reactor to these bases and blow them up, which destroys the whole base. But then you have to escape after you blow them up. So you have to go through this. Yeah, imagine Metroid, a giant, massive labyrinth. You have to fight enemies left and right. Resources are not scarce, but not bountiful. You have to dodge laser fire, rockets, bombs, everything, and hopefully locate some secrets to give you an edge in combat. And like Doom, in a sense, like Doom, you get power-ups that help you, that are make you invincible or overcharge your power systems and things like that, and then you can just, you know, kick some serious butt in the caverns. And then you find the reactor, destroy it, and then you have to escape. If you don't escape, obviously, you die. So it's really cool. And there's also multiplayer mode. I don't know if it's still around, but the game alone for single player is fantastic. I'll say that it's on PS4 and Xbox One. The closest that you can get to this on Switch is a game called Sub-Level Zero Redux, which is similar to Overload, except that's more of a roguelike. So definitely recommended. Both games highly recommended. Please pick them up. Support the devs. And that's it for me. What about you, Joe?
So I've been playing a bunch of stuff this week. Mostly I would say I played WWE 2K20, and I actually finished up the My Career path, and I have to say I'm pleasantly surprised with this year's My Career compared to years past. They put a lot of effort into the story this year, and it kind of reminded me of like Tony Hawk Underground with the way that it's like super unrealistic, but still it's like fun to play, if that makes any sense to you guys.
Well, that's good.
So yeah, so like the whole premise of the story is that you get to play as a male and a female this year, which is the first time ever that you get to play as a female in story mode, and you create your character and then you embark on a journey, and the game starts with you getting inducted and you're like in the induction to the hall, you're like getting ready to go to your induction for the WWE Hall of Fame. But the cool part is like it tells the story backwards, so you go from like going into the Hall of Fame to like the beginning of your career, like grassroots, you're up like coming through the indie wrestling all the way until you get signed with like NXT and then all the way through like WWE. But I definitely was surprised how long the campaign was. I think it was like 18 chapters and I thought it was over at 15 chapters, and when I beat the 15th chapter I was like, there's 3 more fucking chapters. I was like, oh, I just want to finish this game. And I love wrestling, but I was like, I just want to play something else. And it's one of those moments when like you're like, oh man, do I really want to finish this? And I'm like, well, I'm so close. Might as well just do it. I know I'll never get the platinum in that game because the grind online is like ridiculous to win matches and people are so cheap. So it'll never happen. I think right now, I think I'm at like 75% of the trophies done just beating the campaign and then doing like a whole bunch of miscellaneous trophies. Did your brother get this year's game, Roberto?
Regrettably, he can't. He doesn't have the capability to play the games. We tried that back in the PS1 days with like other wrestling games, but he just can't. He just doesn't have the motor capability. I will say, however, that on an unrelated note, but something really cool for all the gamers out there, Spotify Spotify's amazing. I've been finding a lot of video game soundtracks, and among them, I've been finding a plethora, every single WWE soundtrack ever, and playing it for him, and he likes it. So
yeah, they added all. Think I commented on that when you said that in the chat. They just added that stuff like this past year. They got all the licenses back to a lot of that stuff, and they just started like loading it up on Spotify. Really cool, because I like listening to that stuff when I go to the gym. It's like really amped up. Like when I go for runs, I like listening to WWE music.
Right. And then once again, it's great for video game soundtracks, guys, so worth getting that.
Oh yeah, listen to Automata Gucci on there. Yeah. I'll listen to the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack on there.
Like, yeah.
Good shit.
So is that it for you, Joe?
No, I played a ton of games this week. I finished up Lego Harry Potter years 4 through 7. The campaign. So that was fun. I haven't started 4 through 7, I'm sorry. I beat 1 through 4. I still have to beat 5 through 7 now. And those games are fun. I love Lego games. They're like a nice kind of like palate cleanser after you play something like kind of like complex or involved. I don't know how you guys feel about Lego games, but I absolutely adore Lego games. And I'd play any of them because I think they're great games. I mean, I think they're a little repetitive at this point, but I still think they have their redeeming qualities. Roberto, do you play any Lego games or have you played any Lego games?
I've been meaning to, especially with my nephew. We're too wrapped up in Earth Defense Force. So
nice. Which one are you playing? You playing 4?
5, and then we were playing 4.1, but we're playing 5 primarily. And then I've been trying to play Iron Rain a little bit with him too, but like it's just I've been trying to make some time to see him.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to do is play more of Riverbond, but that's another story because that game was really good for them.
Which game?
For my nephew, my niece, Riverbond.
The Riverbond.
You know that one game from that really crazy developer, Coco Newcomber.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Riverbond, the game, the hack and slash game I mentioned from Coco Cucumber.
Cucumber? River? What?
Yeah, see, I knew Kalai was going to laugh because she laughed the last time I said that developer's name wrong. Coco Cucumber. I can't do
Coca-Cola Cucumber? What?
Okay, I'm looking at it again. See? Coco Cucumber. I'm looking at it right now. COCOCUCUMBER.
Coca-Cola Cucumber, okay.
Coca-Cola Vanilla, I don't know what to say anymore. Anyways, so what else, Joe?
What else? I've been playing a bunch of fighting games for Backlog Beatdown. I beat Sonic the Fighters. What a piece of shit that was. Wow.
That's the problem with this Backlog Beatdown, is you're realizing that sometimes you just buy shitty games.
No, I really like Sonic, and it was on PlayStation Now, and I always meant to play it. Like, it was on my list of games to play, so I was like, oh man, I'll play this. Oh shit, it plays exactly like Virtual Fighter. Because Virtual Fighter gets really hard at one point, and I almost broke my fucking controller the other night, because I beat that too this week. I beat Virtual Fighter 2. And Fighting Vipers.
Did you listen to the latest episode of Loop Bros?
Yeah, because Daryl beat all those games because I beat them.
No, he was going to, but then he realized he had already beat them.
Eh, it happens, Daryl. That's what happens. Sorry. That's what happens when you hunt plats and you play all your shitty games up front. Then when you have something like this and you need to have those kind of games, you don't have them. You got all the hard stuff left. What else did I play this week? I played some Switch. My friend actually bought me... I played two more things this week. So real quick, my friend... I don't know why he did this, but he bought me a copy of Mortal Kombat 11 on the Switch. And,
nice, okay.
And I'm enjoying it. I know it's not as good as the PS4 version, because I do own that. I bought it on launch. And I love Mortal Kombat. I'm a huge Mortal Kombat fan. Always have been. I beat the hell out of that game. I think I beat it in like 3 days. Like everything. Except for like... I need like 4 or 5 more trophies for the platinum. And like... I can't beat those stupid tutorials. So if anybody wants to beat the tutorials for me... yeah, I'll pay you. Because... no shame in my game. Yeah, but the the Switch port runs really well. I don't like, I know Steve and Andy like trashed it on dual screens, but I actually found it to be like serviceable for what it is. I mean, you take it with a grain of salt. I mean, it's not the greatest port, but it does what it needs to do, and that's the most important thing, right? It's playable. Yeah. It's playable. It's portable Mortal Kombat. There's like 900 hours worth of gameplay in that game if you do everything and collect every piece of armor and everything from the crypt. It's just endless. There's an endless amount of content, and I love games like that on the Switch because it's just easier to play a game that's got a lot of content to it on the go where I can like pick it up and play it than to play it on the PS4 where I might not have the time to sit and grind for that stuff or might not want to sit and grind while I'm like in front of a TV. I can say one flaw of the game is everything requires online, and they made this new thing where like if you put the Switch in sleep mode, it disconnects your internet now. It didn't used to do it. It used to be a workaround, but now it does do it. So anytime you put the Switch in sleep mode, it disconnects. Like, the server will disconnect on Mortal Kombat, which is really fucking annoying. Because, like, you'll be running through, like, a tower of time, and then all of a sudden you have to start over because you accidentally let your Switch go into sleep mode. It's like, oh, guess I'm doing this over again. And then the last thing I played this week, which shout out to my lovely wife. I know I got shit for this in the group chat because everyone's like, whoa. Oh man, -1, -1. I was like, nah, bro. My wife surprised me. I didn't even know she was buying it for me. My wife, my lovely wife, I came home from work and she had a copy of Dragon Ball Kakarot waiting for me. What a lovely lady. So I got to play that. And I have to say, Roberto, out of like all the Bandai Namco like RPG/fighting games, I like this the most. I actually like it a little bit more than Naruto, like Ultimate Ninja. And I know you...
Yeah, I...
Do you play Kakarot yet?
No, I'm going to put that on the back burner.
It's just, actually...
I mean, nothing against Dragon Ball Z. Just, I respect Dragon Ball Z immensely. It's just... I just don't have the spark for it. I mean, nothing against it. I'll probably pick it up inevitably.
So here's what that game did to me. I played it for an hour, and then I went scrounging through my game room to find my Dragon Ball Z Blu-rays so I could watch them because I want to rewatch Dragon Ball Z now.
Well, that's nice.
That show's just so special and magical. And like, if you grew up like in the 80s or the 90s, you understand how like how much of like a culture shock that show was to us. Because that was like, that's like anime. The introduction of anime for a lot of people in the United States is Dragon Ball Z.
Well, for me, it's Gundam Wing. I mean, Dragon Ball Z I did watch, but Gundam Wing was...
See, I watched Dragon Ball Z before I watched Gundam Wing, though.
Yeah, I was watching... Well, on that note, I was watching, like, Sailor Moon before Gundam Wing.
I mean, the first thing I ever watched, which was my introduction, was, like, Ninja Scroll and stuff like that. My dad watched that stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
My dad was huge in anime.
Bandai Namco's going to be releasing another Gundam game this year, so we'll see if I can try and grab that.
Is it going to be, like, a...
Yeah.
Is it going to be, like, a fighting game, or is it going to be, like...
It looks like it's gonna be like a something like Virtual On and
I just want to be like
kind of like Gundam Versus. So it looks neat.
I kind of wish they would just make like a game like Naruto and One Piece, where even if it's not a fighter, it's like an RPG slash fighting game where like it has story and it has character development. I just think that would be a cool thing to do with the Gundam Wing series, something that hasn't been done yet, or just port Dragon Ball or not Dragon Ball, port Gundam. Port Gundam Wing. What the hell was the Gundam Wing Warrior game? Dynasty Warriors Gundam? Port those to the Switch. I'd play the shit out of those. Or port them to PS4.
Right.
I'd play them. Collide.
We'll see.
What did you play this week?
Well, you'll be very surprised.
Monster Hunter? What a shock.
Detroit Becomes Human.
Oh, shit!
Oh, Swerve. Wow,
good. But I also played Monster Hunter.
Okay, cool. But you played Detroit, so you actually played something that's not Monster Hunter.
Yes, so, I actually did play something that wasn't Monster Hunter.
That's cool.
Now,
I think that's commendable.
Yes,
people give you a lot of shit on the chat for that. I don't know why. Monster Hunter's an amazing game. You're just jealous that because you're good at Monster Hunter.
I am really good at Monster Hunter.
I know. I feel like the student has become the teacher.
It's true.
I don't even play as much anymore. I feel like I'm discouraged now because you're so much better than I am.
Well, I'll help you. I was going to help you today, but we just... It just
I know. It, in the family, cards. Remember, family comes first, guys.
That's why I said it wasn't in the cards. It
was not in the cards.
I'm really enjoying Detroit Becomes Human. I'm
it's
like
a really fantastic game.
Yeah.
Roberto, did you play Detroit Become Human?
Yeah, I need to continue it. It's definitely one of the best kinds of games like it out there right now. It's a wonderful story. I love the deep inspiration from it's from like there's a short story called We Can Do Android's Dream of Electric Sheep.
Yes.
And it's obviously clearly inspired by that. And I love the intricacies of what it does, like, what they did in this particular world. I love the characters, the design of the characters. It's just there's just a lot there, and I need to finish it. I got like halfway through and I just stopped for some
it's
reason.
It's amazing. But, oh man, and yeah, that game and then, is so good.
Not to mention, my boy Clancy Brown's in it, and
dude, he's amazing in that game.
Yeah. So that is my Lex Luthor.
Which one is Clancy Jones?
Clancy Brown is like like the drunk detective.
Yep, he's the drunk. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. He looked familiar.
He's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
He's an amazing yeah. actor.
He's.
I know I collab like on said, the game, but
yeah. He's my Lex Luthor. He's.
As Jackson.
He was
the
sergeant in Starship Troopers. He is Mr. Krabs.
Yes,
so,
he is Mr. Krabs.
Like, this guy is amazing. Mr. Krabs is drunk and is solving detectives with androids.
Yeah, I'm really loving the story, and some of the things that they make you do, I'm like, I don't want to do this because
oh my god,
you...
some of that stuff's really effed up. I definitely found myself like more than any other David Cage game, I just found myself sitting there and I'm like, all right, what do I do right now? Because I can go one of two ways right now, and I don't want to do either of these two paths, but I have to do one.
I know, and they give you 10 seconds to decide.
Oh my god, it's so annoying. You're like, what do I do?
Exactly.
And
so,
then there's like some points where I'm like sitting there with like, after I beat it, I'm trying to go back for the platinum, and I was like, fuck this, because I got to replay like 5 chapters back to like get all the storylines to line up to the thing I needed to line up to get the trophy. And I'm like, no, because you can't skip any cutscenes in that game. Ugh.
Well, I kind of want to replay the game because there's a decision that I made. And I didn't want to make it, but I felt it was the right decision to make.
How far are you?
I just had an Android March.
Oh, whoa, you're like real far in. All right, don't spoil anything because
you're
way further than
Roberto.
Yeah, I'm not going to go any further than that. Yeah, I'm really...
I got the last thing I saw was that I did was the rooftop chase.
Oh my god, Roberto, you're way back. You're not even close to halfway done.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Game is good long. God. It's a long game. It's really back. The back half of it's a lot longer than the front half. So like the backlog's longer than the front log. Shout out to Frosty for that joke.
yeah. So hopefully, maybe if not, maybe definitely Saturday I can conquer the heck out of this thing.
I mean, it's not a game you want to play like that though. I'll tell you that. Like, you want to enjoy this game.
Oh yeah, of course, but like, just it's like a movie that you don't want
to
end.
Exactly. It was like, for me, it kind of harkened back to like playing like Until Dawn. When I played Until Dawn, I didn't want Until Dawn to end.
Right.
When I got to the end and like I had to do the parts, did you guys all beat Until Dawn?
I never even played it.
All right. Did I platinum it? No,
you
I did not.
Yes, you did.
It.
No, did you?
I don't know.
If you did, you should go back and do it. It's not a hard platinum. It's just annoying. Because again, that's one where you have to like replay certain spots in the game to like get all the choices to line up to get the certain endings to appear. But the end of the game is so ridiculous. Like, I remember on my first playthrough, I had all the characters survive till the end of the game when you get to the cabin, and then because I didn't stand still with my controller in my hand, people died, and I was like, fuck this game, because I got all the way to the end, and I was going to get the perfect ending, and then I got fucked because I like was so like amped up going to the final scene in the game, and I was like sweating, and my palms were like sweaty, and I was holding the controller like not straight, and I move too much, and the fucking wiki, what are they called? Wikidoos or whatever? I can't remember the name. It's something with a W. But it got me, and it killed me, and I was like, fuck. But Roberto, if you haven't finished Until Dawn, you should really put that high on your list of things to finish. It's a really quick game, and it's phenomenal. It's honestly a game I think I'm going to play this year for Extra Life, and I'm going to let the fans decide what choices I make.
The other thing I've been playing is I started Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu again.
Why don't you tell your audience, or our audience, a little bit more about that, Kalai?
Oh, I will.
Oh, you
will? I've been playing Hollow Knight, which is really fucking hard, and I needed a palate cleanser, and
Hollow Knight's dope. Are you playing on the Switch, though?
Yes.
Alright, good. That's where you should play Hollow Knight, because it's just really good to play handheld.
It is really good to play handheld, except I'm very lost, so I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, you get lost. Did you beat the first boss?
And the second?
Nice! Yeah, I beat the second, too. The second is a pain in the ass. First was okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out where I need to go for the third area now.
I don't remember.
You gotta go to the fog place, but
Do you need a power-up to get there?
No. Well, the second boss gives you a power-up.
Oh, yeah, when you kill him, he gives you the thing that can go in the... Yeah, you can go in
the fog, dash.
Yeah.
So, I decided to start playing Pokemon. I actually started this morning, and I had a brilliant idea. I made my rival, because they said, oh, what do you want your rival's name to be? So I decided to make it Mr. TMNT. So today I posted in our Facebook group, wow, Joe, I can't believe the choice you made. That's very bold to pick that Eevee as your first starter.
Yeah, I straight would have picked the Eevee too. You know why? Pikachu's a bitch.
Oh, that's rough.
That's right, I said it on camera.
So, I will be playing that game and posting to our Facebook group and our actual Twitter account photos, because that's how I'm uploading the photos, is to our Twitter, of me beating Joe
at Pokemon. Only someone's using our Twitter.
Yeah, that's true. Besides that, I just pretty much haven't had time for much else, because on the weekends, when I'm free, Jim and I have been playing Monster Hunter and having a lot of fun
Super
with that.
Super Bowl, you know. It was a busy weekend.
It was. So, let's go to our topic of the show.
Let's do that. Let's clean this Oh, wait, wrong show.
So, an article came out.
It did.
And it listed the top 20 games.
It did.
Of the decade.
It actually has the top 20 games of last decade as well.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that.
Roberto, have you read this article?
No, I've not.
Oh man, just wait till you hear what the top 20 games are. Can you guess what number one is before we even let's play? Who can guess what number one is? Highest selling game
of the
decade.
Red Dead Redemption. Oh, highest selling?
Yes.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah, well, it said so in the headline. It was Call of Duty.
It's not Call of Duty. Highest selling game in the last 10 years, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, wow, okay.
Number two is Call of Duty Black Ops.
Number three, Kalai?
Wow.
Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
What's number four, Kalai?
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Is the next one a Call of Duty game?
It is Call of Duty Black Ops 3. Followed by Call of Duty Ghost.
Jesus.
Followed by Red Dead Redemption. Followed by Call of Duty World War 2.
Oh my god.
Followed by Call of Duty Black Ops 3.
People like Call of Duty.
Followed by Minecraft. Then we go back to Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019. Just, you know, we gotta distinguish these. Elder Scrolls V Skyrim. Mario Kart 8. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Battlefield 1. Battlefield 4. Destiny. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and Star Wars Battlefront 2015.
First of all, I don't know how the hell Star Wars Battlefront got on any list. Maybe because people didn't think it was going to suck before they bought it. But the fact that it's on anybody's top 20 anything is pretty sad.
So Joe okay. pondered a question, and here's the question that we're going to talk about. So most of these games are Call of Duty or first-person shooters. Do we think that's going to affect the games that are coming with the next generation? Do you think the developers are just going to give us multiplayer first-person shooters? Is that the best way to say it, Joe?
So, like, is this affecting industry trend? Like, do you guys think that because all these games in the top 20 are mostly shooters, that that's the way the market's going to go? I honestly, my opinion is yes, it's going to continue. This trend's going to continue, but it's now going to include games of service, because I've seen that that's been a big change in the industry, is games like Division 2, Destiny, Overwatch. Like, I think when you see the next 10 years, those games are going to be the games at the top of the list. Roberto, what's your take on that?
I think that the truth of the matter is that when it comes to FPSs are still some of the most widely accepted and accessible games out there. They're fun, they're exciting, they have skill that is required from the player, and then of course it's the imaginative like inputs and imaginations that you have with these games. It's not everything's just simply shooting something. Maybe it's a matter of exploration. Maybe it's a matter of maybe repairing the whole land. Maybe it's a matter of destroying the land. I think that shooters are going to continue unmistakably, but I believe that shooters will become a lot more inventive, a lot more
innovative,
and maybe even try and go back to ideas that were explored in the last couple of generations.
I mean, I think like they did a good job of being innovative this last 10 years. The problem is they don't charge anything for Fortnite, so it wouldn't be on the list as a purchased game.
Right.
And it's not a good game.
That's not true. It's not a terrible game. It's the same thing as Call of Duty. It falls into the same motif of it's like a bro game. Like, everybody and their mother plays it, so it gets a really bad rap because it's full of nothing but 12-year-olds yelling obscenities and cursing all day.
I'm surprised PUBG isn't on this list.
People had to buy PUBG, and they also had to own an Xbox. Two things a lot of people don't have: Xboxes and PUBG.
I think
you're gonna say something.
I was gonna say I think that this trend is going to continue because, face it, almost every Call of Duty game is up on this list.
People love Call of Duty multiplayer, man.
And that's the same game rehashed over and over again.
Yes, the multiplayer. Yeah. See, I'm a campaign player, so. I get Call of Duty, but I only get it for the campaign, and people think I'm fucking, like, crazy. Sorry.
Right, it's like, to me, and then the thing with Call of Duty is that they have to still work hard in trying to reinvent the brand. I mean, they just released their new Modern Warfare, and I don't know how that's faring out. And
this year's? Better than last year's, the one that was just, like, a multiplayer
2019's.
Game?
Yeah.
Remember, last year's was only multiplayer only.
Right, that was Black Ops 4.
Which is not on that list.
Right, so it's...
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's interesting...
Four is?
Yes.
What is it, like number 7?
9?
Okay, see? But, you know, I think the funny thing, guys, is the ones that are all ranked ahead of it all have a story mode.
What about the ones below it? Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019.
That's because you had to pay $40 for that. Oh, wait, no. Modern Warfare 2019. That was this year's, right? That just passed?
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, are people just not willing to pay for Call of Duty anymore?
It's just the fact that it's the same old, same old. You know, you are American hero that saves world with special operations persons, and you go fight the Russia, and then you go fight the Middle East, and you go fight the North Koreans, and then you go fight the Russians, and then you fight the Middle East, and you fight the Koreans with nuclear bombs, M4 carbines, night vision, American badass cigar, knife, stab, shoot, blow up, slow motion, door busting, what else?
Breach.
You know, breached, flashbang. Oh, darn it, my flow heaters just went down. What else? Go in space, and like it got to the point where they had to go into space and do space things.
Was it the Space Force?
No one.
It was almost, yeah, just about.
No one can hear your gun reload in space.
Yeah, and they went to space twice because in what was it, Ghosts? You're on a space station and somehow you shoot in space. And
are you really in Ghosts? You're on a space station?
Yes. And then there was Infinite Warfare where you basically fight.
Infinite Warfare is the one in space.
Jon Snow. Yeah, where you fight Jon Snow in space.
It's infinite, and, bro. Space is infinite. That's why.
Yeah, but it's like that's where Halo's for and Doom.
Yeah, but they play completely different. Zone. Like Halo is like bunny rabbits jumping around and shooting.
It's space, but bunny rabbits that want to destroy the universe. So it's just, oh my god! I honestly think that there was. I want to go back on an idea that was for Medal of Honor. They thought about making like a Medal of Honor World War II air combat game. And they never went through on it.
Really?
Call of Duty. Yeah, Call of Duty can easily go into vehicular combat if it wanted to, and just
didn't the last one have vehicular combat? It failed.
No, I don't think so.
I thought Black Ops 4 had vehicles in it, didn't it, Kali?
Well, like in the PUBG mode, probably.
Yeah.
But nothing like
the PUBG mode that they had to copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I stopped playing Call of Duty at that point.
No, bro, you don't play Call of Duty, bro.
But yeah, I haven't really played COD either.
You know the attach rate for that shit is probably like almost like 1-to-1.
I mean, I've been meaning to play Black Ops 3 only because we got there for free, and then
I played it.
I do like the sci-fi aesthetic. You know, the fact that it's like they're cyborgs or whatever. So yeah. There's that. I think that it's. Like, I mean, just growing up, though, with when Call of Duty was really kind of dominating, I do remember the, like you said, the one-on-one, the attach rate of FPS is like one thing I won't ever forget.
People just buy consoles for FPSs?
No, there was two things I remember. I went to a GameStop, and this is when World at War was out, and I was just looking around. I was in Brick, and you know, you people watch, or you kind of are aware of what's going on in your surroundings without, like, looking, you know? And this one mom had her kid, and I think her kid was only, like, 9 years old, and she had World at War in her hand for her kid. And I'm just like, you know, I mean, like, it's not my business to, I don't care what other people do, but, like, girl, you gotta understand what you're getting your kid. And I didn't say anything, obviously, but when she brought the game up, the GameStop employee said, hey, I just want to give you a friendly reminder that this game is rated M for mature. Oh, what does that mean? It means that this game is rated for mature audiences, 17 plus and 17 and up. And she goes, well, what does the game have? And then the guy goes, blood, gore, violence, decapitation. And then like the mom looked at her son and just went, no. But then she went back and I swear, I remember seeing it. She brought Modern Warfare, not World at War. I guess because decapitation's decapitation in that game isn't so bad, but still shooting people is. I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. And then even one other time, I went to a GameStop up in Middletown, and this one kid was having a bit of an attitude. I wasn't really paying attention, but it looked like he wanted a shooter. You know, an action game, a shooting game. And it's like, I don't think it was Call of Duty Modern Warfare for the Wii, because it was like 09 or 010. But it was something like, I guess, and then the kid wound up getting Super Smash, which was a good choice. But there's just something to this attach rate, I guess the action, the fact that you're the hero saving the world, all of that gets in there. And then on top of that, Call of Duty just became a game that everybody played in their dorm rooms, their apartments on weekends with their bros and homies.
It's a quick game. You can play a quick
game
multiplayer and you're done. Like, not something where you have to jump in and play for 4 hours to get anything done. You can play a match and get off. And so now I pose this to you guys. My second question to you about this topic is, look at the number one game on the list. It's Grand Theft Auto 5. And a lot of people give Rockstar a lot of shit this generation because there technically wasn't a new Grand Theft Auto this generation because 5 was so successful as a platform. Now, do you think games of service as a platform are great for the industry and it could be something that will help the industry grow? Or do you think it's a bad thing because it makes things like Grand Theft Auto 5 like one platform and then you never get another story mode Grand Theft Auto 5, or the next game might not even have a story, it might just be all online?
Like, I doubt that. We all know that the online mode for GTA 5 is definitely one of the biggest success stories out there because this game came out in 2013, 14, and it's still going strong, and it shows no signs of slowing down, and it's still massive.
Dude, it ranks in the NPD every month it's come out.
Yeah.
How insane is that?
It's incredible. And I think, though, that the single-player portions still matter. Everyone out there is still reminiscing on the single players of GTA San Andreas and Vice City. I've been meaning to play and revisit just, you know, for the hell of it. And I mean, I do have 5 also, but it's just,
have you played 5?
Those, no.
It's amazing. Like, the story is really good.
Is, yeah.
And like the changing 3 characters was like kind of revolutionary for like a game like that, where you could on the fly just like switch your character and be like, oh, I'm gonna play as this guy now, or oh no, I'm gonna take over this guy now. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kalai, so then, what do you think about Grand Theft Auto 5 and as like a platform versus, you know, getting a Grand Theft Auto 6 or getting a Bully 2 or anything for that matter?
Now, Grand Theft Auto came out on the PS3?
Yes. At the tail end of the system's life.
So at the tail end, the PS3 did not have any really good online gaming. So, what probably happened is they probably ported Grand Theft Auto 5 to the PS4 to learn the architecture of the PS4 to be able to actually make the game. And then they decided to put in the multiplayer, which took off. So, I think, yes, they will continue to put a storyline in. What I think that they're doing, and which is so important, especially with this list, is they're not beating this thing to death. So I think it's all right that we don't get a new Grand Theft Auto. Instead, they diverted their resources to Red Dead Redemption 2, which everybody wanted.
Yeah, I can see your point in that. And I know, like, on Kind of Funny this week, they were like, well, why don't they just open, like, with all the money they made off of Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead, they could literally open up, like, one or two more Rockstar studios and make more games at once. But then they had a really good point that if you do that, you're not going to have the same people and the same passion for what Rockstar Games is if you just hire just anybody to be an employee at Rockstar. Like, the reason their games are so good is because of the people that make them. And because they're not like an EA and they're not Ubisoft, where like all their resources are spread so thin and they're working on so many things at once that everything gets delayed like 907 times.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's why Grand Theft Auto 5 is so good, is because they have a dedicated team and they're not beating the series into the ground and overworking their employees.
It's honestly amazing that like 2K hasn't stepped in and been like, yo, you need to make another studio, because those motherfuckers are all about money and microtransactions and getting everybody to empty their wallets. Like, look at NBA 2K. It has a fucking casino. Like, it's a fucking basketball game. What does it need a casino for?
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah, oh my god. If you want to watch the funniest video, like, it's getting a little off topic, but not really. you watch the Angry Joe show, and he does a whole review of them playing NBA 2K 20 when it came out, and they're like, there's a fucking casino, and you have to spend money. And he's like, this is stupid. He's like,
but, all right, can we jump into our Facebook group? Because we got some really good questions this week.
Well, Roberto, do you have any closing comments on this and this list in general? Like, were you shocked to find that? Oh, yeah. Last and third point. Were you guys shocked that there wasn't a lot of story-driven single-player games? And if you really notice, most of the games that win Game of the Year are not on this list. which means that sales don't equal Game of the Year.
Well, right. I mean, like, this has been a well-known fact that games, like, there's this discrepancy about that sales automatically equates to quality, but that's not the case at all.
Correct.
Similarly, in the movie business, there's the Oscars are on Sunday. There's movies I would have liked to have seen nominated and some that didn't. And there's some people who are just completely broken and inside and just melting down because movies like Frozen 2 didn't get nominated. But it's not the sales, it's the quality and what the movie was able to do that hadn't been done before. In the case of games, Call of Duty has been a very good machine in the sense of it's created an accessible and widely popular franchise that everybody wants to get in on.
Wait, however, Frozen 2 wasn't nominated for best animated film?
No, I will talk about that a little overall because that's a good 20-minute discussion there. But
crazy.
My point being is, the qualities and what a game is able to do that breaks the mold. Those are some of the aspects there that I feel have to be taken more seriously in that consideration. I would have loved for games like Neurovoider to get more of a more recognition and more sales, and it did pretty good for the studio that made it. But you know, it's just you have to kind of find success in the game that you play and just spread the word and hope that others get it, you know, play it more. But if you like it and you think it's great, it doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't sell very well. It's not a bad game at all. It's where it's at. You know, these games did a great job in marketing, design, appeal, content. They did a great job with being a known brand and in delivering entertainment to the masses. And maybe a game that, like Neocab, may not be something that makes a million units, but something that does make an impact in its storytelling. And maybe the quality of it is very high. It's just, it completely depends, but for how you feel about it. But it's an interesting observation to make. I honestly think that, in my closing thought, we're going to see a lot more games in this next decade that will sell high, but I think they will be shooters and multiplayer games, but maybe they might not be so much. Maybe they'll start innovating with different ideas and different reflections of developers and culture that we live in today. So yeah, it should be interesting to see this next decade. Well, all right, so let's move on to the Collide. Did you have any input or no?
The only thing I was going to say is it doesn't surprise me that there's not a lot of story-driven games on this list, because out of these 20 games, two of these games are single-player. Everything else is multiplayer, and that's what's driving a lot of the industry these days.
Right.
No, valid point. All right, now it's time for reader mail or Facebook question?
It is. Are you ready? So Matt Murray asks, how does it feel being the best podcast on PG?
Feels fucking great.
Roberto?
Cool.
Awesome, love it. Now, Roberto, I've got a big one from CJ, so pay attention, okay?
Have I played
What?
Have I played Of Us Last... No, Us of Last of the...
No, actually, CJ really has a serious question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Sony's continue to baby the Western market with increased censorship, despite many risky titles still flooding the Japanese PSN store, including depictions of underage girls, breast shots, arse shots, octopus play, and overly sexualized household objects. On the other hand, the Nintendo
Switch... Did you just
say
overly sexualized household objects?
He did.
The fuck does that mean? Like a sexy broom?
There was a game that was released on P-Cube that basically had you be alien girls that are the size of fairies studying larger girls. It's a very creepy game. Very strange.
On the other hand, the Nintendo Switch has opened up a fair play policy, allowing many of these Japanese titles to be openly sold on the eShop and in physical form. with Phil Spencer spending more time in Japan over the last year, engaging in relations, we can expect to see many of these titles migrate to Xbox in the next generation. Strengthening relationships between Nintendo and Xbox seem to further suggest an open policy to sexually censorship moving forward on these platforms. With that in mind, Brittany or Christina?
First of all, I'll answer this first.
Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera?
Yeah, well, it's always Christina, but that's beyond the point. Roberto, this is all you, bro. Like, this the censorship part, you can have a field day with this, so...
Right.
If you would like to...
No, but that's not the question. Like the question is Britney or Christina, Christina. Have to answer the question.
Well, I did listen to Britney Spears the other day, and I kind of remembered a time when music was music, and... It's funny because I was at a party playing Shadowhunter on a tabletop game, and we're watching Oops, I Did It Again, the music video where she's on Mars, and I'm like, you know, when I was 10 years old, I hated this song, and now, like, I'm 31 years old, and I'm like, I really respect this and how weird it is and how cool, and yeah, maybe it's still a little annoying, but it feels a lot more authentic than most music today. And then Christina Aguilera, I mean, she's cool. I mean, I kind of like her, too. I don't know.
I mean,
I guess Britney Spears.
I'm going to say Britney pre-breakdown. Joe?
Pre-breakdown.
Well, yeah. So, Lyle and I discussed this already, and I'm going to go with Christina because she's the genie in the bottle, and I would like to rub her the right way.
Andrew Middlemoss says... Sorry I missed the question window, but you did not. But I'm curious, do you watch or listen to any other shows, podcasts that are not about gaming?
Yes.
Personally, I enjoy SEN, Schmo, Entertainment Network, which is a morning radio show weekdays, which is also connected to a movie trivia show, which is amazing. Also big into Joe Rogan, Force Center, History Hyenas, The Sin Files, Flagrant 2, and Fighter and the Kid. I haven't heard game audio in 4 years because of so many podcasts. So, Joe, do you listen to anything else besides podcasts?
Let's start. I listen to Kevin Smith's podcast. I listen to Smodcast every week, when it's available. I listen to about 10 different gaming podcasts weekly, which gets really annoying sometimes because I'm so far backlogged on them. Just a few that you guys should definitely check out is Pat Contry and Ian Ferguson's Completely Unnecessary podcast. That's an amazing gaming podcast, weekly gaming podcast. Nintendo Dual Screens, Steve and Andy, they do an amazing job every week. Gaming. Kind of Funny, all the Kind of Funny stuff. I love.
Not gaming.
Well, I'm going through my gaming first. If you want to hear Not Gaming, Kevin Smith, and wrestling. I listen to about 4 or 5 wrestling podcasts weekly. I listen to a podcast called Behavioral Observations for my job, because I'm a board-certified behavior analyst for those who didn't know that. So I listen to podcasts to learn if people still do that. But I do that for my job. And I also listen to cooking podcasts sometimes if I want to learn how to cook something. I don't know how to cook. But mostly it's gaming or wrestling. And I also don't listen to game audio on certain games. Like if I'm playing a shooter or if I'm playing a fighting game, I'll just turn the volume off and I'll just listen to the podcast. Roberto, how about you?
I've been trying to... I was listening to various podcasts for a time, and then I kind of just stopped. I mean, to get back into it. And I will say that sometimes it's cool to have, like, a YouTube video open, and, like, you hear what people are talking about while playing a big multiplayer game. You know, so that's been one thing I've been meaning to do. There was, like, this... Sci-Fi Wire did this amazing podcast about Batman last year or the year before, and it was great. I would just sit there and play, like, Killing Floor or something like that and listen to this whole history about Batman.
Ooh.
And it had, like, Kevin Conroy and everything like that, and it was and they talked about, you know, with Bert, what's his name, or who was, oh gosh, Robin name, the Robin actor's name. And they talked to, like,
Reynolds?
The original cast members.
The original
one? Okay.
No, not Burt Reynolds. No, that was wrong.
No, it was another Burt.
Burt Ward?
That's it.
Yep.
Burt Ward.
The original, okay. Burt Robin? Ward. Burt Ward.
Yeah, OG Robin.
Yeah.
And
Adam West and Burt Ward.
Yeah. Thank you. So it was
Eartha Kitt.
Cool, you know? And sometimes you do pick up on different knowledge and things like that while you do that. I've been meaning to listen to Kinda Funny and maybe ACG and maybe Colin's Last Stand and a few others just because like they seem to be getting a lot of traction. And
Colin's Last Stand's decent.
Yeah, I heard that was a big one.
Sacred Symbols is good. It's the number one PlayStation podcast. Sorry, Tricky.
Yeah. So there's that. So, the way I see it, that's something I do try and do.
I forgot one more. Sorry, Kali. Forgot one more. Probably one of my favorites that's not gaming related. It's called How Did This Get Made? And it's a bunch of people that sit around, it's comedians, and they talk about how the fuck certain movies actually got made because they're so fucking horrible. It's a really funny podcast. Roberto, you should definitely check it out because it's all about movies.
Which one?
It's called How Did This Get Made?
How Did This Get Made? Okay.
I
that sounds good.
I have a job that I'm on the phone all the time, and a lot of times it's just ringing. So I have the luxury of having one headphone in, and I listen to audiobooks. I'm actually currently listening to the Witcher series.
Now, can you digest what you're listening to? Because I tried audiobooks, and I had a big issue like being able to digest what I was listening to.
I grew up listening to audiobooks. When we went on long trips, my mom used to actually put audiobooks on for us, so I'm kind of trained to be able to do it.
Like the cassette tapes?
Yeah. Yes. I fucking hate you.
Well, they weren't fucking CDs.
No, they were not.
Were they A-tracks?
No, fucking fuck you. Andrew asked, any thoughts on this whole world of work? Whole Warcraft Reforged debacle. Currently sitting at a 0.5 on Metacritic. Layman Gaiman has a really good breakdown of it.
Warcraft Reforged, where to start? Maybe you should have just made a new Warcraft game in the vein of like old Warcraft, and it would have sold better. I don't know. Warcraft 5 would have been pretty
cool. Yeah. They would have skipped Warcraft 4 and gone straight to 5.
Oh, yeah, shit, I forgot there was no 4. 3 was the last one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you could have just skipped 4. You could have made a statement and been like, fuck 4. We're like Japanese Final Fantasy. We're just skipping numbers and shit.
Any thoughts, Roberto?
For which game?
Really?
For Final Fantasy?
No! Warcraft Reforged.
Oh. I'm not really into Warcraft.
You don't like OG Warcraft? Like,
not really, no.
Did you play StarCraft at all?
No, I never played any of them.
Hmm.
I mean, Warcraft I know from South Park, but that's it.
Okay.
But, you know, it's like, I respect what it is, so.
I mean, I love RTSs. I think they're amazing.
Yeah, well, Blizzard really fucked up with this one when they re-released it to be better, and it wasn't better.
Well, that's what happens when you release something and you promise the world and you underdeliver. I'm looking at you, Diablo.
All right, Matt asks, what's your favorite Monster Hunter monster? Joe?
Fuck. I don't know. I like Gypsyroth a lot. He's fucking cool.
Oh, it's probably the dragon, the armor one you like.
Oh, Astralos?
Yes. Do you like Astralos?
Yeah, he's fucking dope, too. I love his shiny metallic armor you can get from slaying him, and I don't know. I like the tiger one, too, but I can never remember its name. Like, Tigerex or whatever. That thing's
Tigerex.
Tigerex. That thing's sweet as fuck. Legombies are cool.
They just put Tigerex into Iceborne.
Did they really? Is this Snow Tiger?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Alright, I'm buying the game now. Sold. I got a Snow Tiger.
I'm pretty sure that Matt asked this question because I can't pronounce any of these names, so it's really funny that I'm correcting you.
It's all good.
I'm gonna go with Lavioso, which is also known as the Lava Fish.
Fuck that thing.
I actually really like that fight.
No. You know who's not on my list? That fucking thing you fight in Monster Hunter Ultimate 3. That fucking thing you fight in the water. That thing was a pain in the ass.
The Blongo is not on my list, which I predict that they're going to bring the Blongo into Monster Hunter Iceborne.
I could see that. He'd be cool to bring back.
No, he would not. I hate that fucking fight.
It's... I wish there was just more monster variety, because coming from, like, Generations, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, well, there's only, like, 19 different monsters in this one. It's a slap in the face.
Well, Iceborne really expands that, and they're bringing out more. In fact, next week, we're getting the Rajong fight.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. We have, of course, Tigrex.
My man.
They added new monsters that have never been seen before, including Namiel, which is a fantastic looking monster.
What is it? What's its like species? Like, what is it?
It's like a dragon, but it's rainbow colored. It's
a beautiful. Rainbow dragon. That's sweet.
Yeah, they. It really does a really good job.
I want to fight that shit while listening to Reading Rainbow, like the theme song.
Yeah, they did
like,
a really good job.
I can't go anywhere. Take a look in a book.
In a book.
It's reading Roberto.
Reading Rainbow.
Oh, God.
What's up?
Did you have a favorite monster? I know you really haven't played the game.
Well, if it was in, like, you know, God Eater, but that's not, you know,
that's
God Eater is not Monster Hunter.
All right,
so.
Name your favorite God Eater monster, because if you've never played...
Well, there's this one that looks like a tank. I forgot what it's called.
Oh,
kind of like comes at you like a tank, like it looks like a giant, like, metallic crab.
Texacobbler? Cool. That one? Oh, like the that. Crab! Was it Herma?
I forget.
Hermaline?
Yeah, I have to revisit the first one. I poured like 30 hours in that, and I'm not even done yet.
What was that crab's name, Kali? The crustacean one.
Oh, the,
The Herma something, right? I don't know.
The Hermatoid?
Yeah, Hermatoid. The big one, though. Yeah, is it Hermatoid the big one or the small? No, small one's not Hermatoid. I don't remember.
Alright, well, that's alright. Daryl asks, what is the best video game franchise of all time, and why is it Resident Evil?
It's not Resident Evil, but you're close.
What's your choice?
Final Fantasy.
Roberto?
Oh, that's tough. Best fantasy franchise?
No. Franchise of all time.
Of all time?
Just say Metal Gear Solid so we can move on.
Ace Combat.
What? You didn't pick Metal Gear?
It's just...
What?
I'd have it that was tight. I would probably say Metal Gear, but it's just I look at all the games that I played of Metal Gear and I loved every one of them. But then Ace Combat, just there's so many, and
Ace Combat,
like, each one has never really like each one has been great. I mean, it hasn't really. There's not one that disappointed me.
Oh.
Except maybe number 3, you know, but that's it.
I gotta change my answer. It's Legend of Zelda.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah, I really do. I really think that it would probably be my favorite franchise of all time. Or Fire Emblem, but like Fire Emblem's definitely my favorite, but I would say the greatest of all time is Zelda. Either Zelda or Mario.
I'm gonna go Monster Hunter because it really has been a lot of fun with me and all my friends.
It's really growing in the West, and I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Daryl then asks, on a scale to 1 to Call of Duty Ghost, rank the Luke brothers.
Oh, shit. All right. From 1 to Call of Duty Ghost?
Yeah.
All right. Josh, he gets a Call of Duty Ghost. Frosty, that motherfucker gets a 1 because he never releases the podcast on time. T-Bird, he gets a Call of Duty Ghost because he is Mr. Call of Duty Ghost. Hey, they created this question. I'm just answering it. And then my man, Resident Daryl, he gets a solid 4 because he's a trophy whore. See how I rhymed that?
It did. Okay, so I'll probably have to go Daryl, followed by T-Bird, because he's a PC guy. Followed by... Josh and Frosty are Call of Duty rank. Call of Duty Ghost Strike.
Damn.
And Roberto doesn't really listen to Loop Brothers.
I should.
Like, they're all Call of Duty Ghosts. Okay. Yeah.
It's alright, we'll go to the next question, because it's another good one, from Daryl. If we were in a Saw-style scenario, and one of us had to die so the others could survive, why would you put spiders on Tricky?
Because it'd be hilarious.
Roberto?
For the same reason. It would just be fun. I mean, and the fear, having a fear of spiders is a relatable thing. I mean,
I hate spiders too, but I'm not a little bitch.
But, I mean, to be fair, I was like a bit of a little bitch with crabs. Like, I used to be terrified of petting horseshoe crabs.
They have big pincers, because, though.
No, they're harmless. It's like...
Oh, horseshoe
but
crabs.
But just crabs... Yeah, horseshoe crabs. Like, but it's just crabs in general. Like, they're like spiders of the sea, and they have all like, that... They're armored, and they got all that plating, spiders, and they have those big-ass claws and shit. Like, they could just... Yeah, like, they could crush your... Like, the... There, oh, by the way, I watch Coyote Peterson. There's this crab, I forgot what the species was, but he lets himself get pinched he allows this crab to grab his finger for a minute, and he goes, like, there's enough PSI to crush bone, and he goes, like, old Steve Irwin Crocodile Hunter on it, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm just, like, cringing here. His, like, finger's turning blue while this crab, like, crushes his finger, and that's the beginning. Like, there's literally the giant Japanese spider crab that, like, can injure divers. It's that big. And then there's, like, footage of, like, colonies of these things moving, and they just rip this, like, stingray apart. It's just, ugh, like, you know, like, just look at a crab. Look at a spider crab in particular. Like, if you want to really, like scare the shit out of Tricky, spider crab. Just show him a spider crab. Like, now you've got a spider, and then it's this armored thing that's, like, the size of a fucking car.
That like seriously, terrible.
No, seriously. Like, it's probably the size of like one of those little Power Wheel things, you know, that you get for kids.
Jesus, so, they're that big.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not kidding.
That's a pretty big crab.
Yeah,
Flash spider, spider of the sea.
I'm actually gonna give a callback to the last episode where Tricky was on, and I'm gonna say I would put spiders on him because he did say that he has a tendency to want to protect the woman, and that would be me.
Yeah. If you eat his words. Nah, he's throwing your ass under the bus if there's spiders. I'm sorry.
Yeah, probably.
You're getting sawed in half. Or whatever Jigsaw has in mind for you.
Alright. Thank you guys for the questions. It was wonderful.
Oh, that's it?
That was it. That was the last one.
Thanks, guys. Keep them coming.
Yeah, good stuff.
If you do like us, subscribe and rate us. You can find us on Twitter at GameStuffCast. If you'd like to join our Facebook, just search GameStuff Podcast, ask for an invite. We'll be glad to have you. We also have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/provengamer. Also, we now have a merchandise store where you can get actually PG branded logo on some really cool gear. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find me at Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. You can find Roberto at Jehuty88. That's Jehuty88. And you can find Joe at Mr. TMNT84. That's capital MRTMNT84. And of course, you can always talk to us in the Facebook group. We're very prevalent there. We do have some sponsors. If you do want to help out the show, just go over to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. It doesn't cost you a dime, and it does help out the site. We are partnered with Humble Bundle and Extra Life, that's our charity, which is to help the 6 kids. You can follow our show notes and the links. Click on the Humble Bundle link, go check out the store, buy great PC games, cheap, and you get to help out 6 kids. If you do like this show, check out our other shows. There's Trophy Whores and sometimes PG Spoilers. I also want to thank Isaac Sago for our logo and the band Take Away the Ugly. You can check them out. All of their links are in our show notes. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. May the force be with you. See you next week.
Hey, guys. I just want to do a quick shout out before this episode's over. I just want to talk about my my boy Resident Daryl and his current trophy count, which he's a level 45 with 180 platinums, 1,481 gold trophies, 2,123 silvers, and 6,466 bronze. Suck it, Tricky.